Chief Medical Officer Dr. John Lee reports 461 COVID-19 tests carried out since Tuesday. Six are positive for COVID-19. All are travelers who tested positive as part of the screening program. They will remain in isolation until considered recovered. In all, there are 785 people in isolation, whether that's in a government facility or in their homes as required by the Medical Officer of Health. 17,285 COVID-19 vaccines have been administered to date, with 7,008 people having completed the two-dose course so far. A warm K-Mankind welcome at Charles Kirkconnell International Airport as the Boeing 7378 aircraft returns to service. Radio K-Man's Shanda Gallego reports.
Residents of Cayman Brac gather at Charles Kirkconnell International Airport earlier today to welcome the return to service for the Boeing 737-8 fleet. It's been almost 2 years since the national airline voluntarily grounded the fleet following two fatal crashes, which was operated with the same aircraft type. After comprehensive safety certifications of the aircraft by aviation authorities locally and globally, Cayman welcomes the return of the fleet to commercial service this month. Speaking to Radio Cayman News, Deputy Premier and Minister for Tourism Honorable Moses Kirkconnell says it's a very good day.
It's a very proud day. From the standpoint of the eights being here for the country themselves and the change from the 300s moving up the upgrade, we're extremely pleased with that. Obviously from the ministry standpoint for the country itself, we always depend on Cayman Airways as a tool for the people. You can see what it's done for us through COVID and how we've been able to really use them in one of the insurance ways that they're designed to be used.
His Excellency the Governor Martin Roper joined the flight this morning, and upon his arrival, tells Radio Cayman News, it's wonderful to see the large gathering.
I know in Grand Cayman, I think they had a couple of thousand people come out to have a look at the planes, and there's a huge crowd here in the BRAC today, and that is fantastic because these planes are the safest planes in the world currently, given how much work has gone on to make sure that they're safe. They're a fantastic addition to the Cayman Airways fleet. Cayman Airways is a national treasure, and I think we're all very proud of Cayman Airways and what it represents for the jurisdiction. I'm just delighted to be here to support them.
Governor Roper was also invited to be in the cockpit to see what our national airline pilots do.
What struck me was just how incredibly calm they are, but also busy. I mean, there's so much going on, and because it was a short flight, you go up and then you start coming down almost straight away. So they were very, very busy and checking everything, but just a wonderful experience, and some of the views were breathtaking. So it just, you know, I am in awe of our pilots, but when you go up there and see what they do, it makes you even more in awe of their incredible skill and professionalism. And you know, safety is the absolutely guiding principle for Cayman Airways, and that's what you get a very strong sense for that in everything that they do.
Cayman Brac residents and local students got a chance to see one of the new Boeing 737-8s, meet with Cayman Airways pilots and crew, and ask questions about the airline's fleet. Shanda Gallego, Radio Cayman News.
The Human Rights Commission weighs in after a family of Cuban refugees protests on the steps of the Government Administration Building. Radio Cayman's Felisa Rankin-Solens has more.
For background, a Cuban political refugee is seeking rights for his family to be granted residency and employment rights for his spouse in the Cayman Islands. This ongoing matter has identified a gap within the Customs and Border Control Act, as there is currently no provision to regularize the expatriate's spouse. The Human Rights Commission says they have been working in the background to seek a sound resolution to address the matter. The commission has been in correspondence with the Ministry of Employment and Border Control since 2019, and upon identifying the inability to add spouses to asylum approvals, the commission has expressed recommendations to consider a prima facie conflict between the Act and the Constitution's right to private and family life. The HRC says additionally, asylum grantees are required to be treated equally to nationals, and therefore spouses should be able to apply for residency and employment rights certificates. The commission says the ministry has indicated that work is currently being done to amend the act to address these concerns. In the meantime, the commission says it will continue to advocate for the, quote, urgent remedying of this matter. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Felicia Rankin-Solins.
2020 was a down year for the power company. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller explains.
This week, Caribbean Utilities Company announced its audited results for 2020. Operating income was $28.9 million USD, a $600,000 drop from operating income the year before. This decrease is being attributed to a 3.5 decrease in kilowatt sales and higher depreciation costs. Net earnings were $26.1 million USD, a $3 million decrease, blamed on lower operating income, higher finance charges, and lower other income. Earnings on Class A ordinary shares for 2020 were $25.1 million USD, or about 74 cents per Class A ordinary share, down 10 cents over the year before. Capital expenditures, net contribution in aid of construction for the fiscal year 2020 was $53.4 million USD, a $7.2 million drop from $60 million in capital expenditures the year before. Sales last year were 644.3 million kilowatts, a drop of 3.5%. CUC says sales were, quote, negatively impacted by a decrease in kilowatt consumption of large commercial customers driven by the COVID-19 pandemic. The decrease in the large commercial customers was partially offset by an increase in kilowatt consumption of residential consumers and a 2% growth in overall customer numbers in 2020.
In his last recap of the state of government finances, the Honorable Roy McTaggart cited real estate transactions as one of the key industries bolstering the local economy after the borders closed due to COVID-19. RE/MAX broker James Bevel tells Radio Cayman, 2020 certainly didn't play out as expected.
Surprisingly, as most people might have thought, you know, with the virus, that they would have expected last year to be an off year. Quite the contrary. It actually was a very solid boom year. The association's numbers were up by 4.2% in gross sales.
The association he's referring to is the Cayman Islands Real Estate Brokers Association. Mr. Bevel says real estate in 2020 was an interesting phenomenon.
A lot of it was, I think, pre-sales. A lot was in there. You also had a lot of people who were looking to Cayman. They wanted to get out of Dodge. They wanted to have a backup. We also had a lot of reinvesting from the local populace and people who reside here, whether they permanently reside here or reside here. A lot of people, I think, really see the value of Cayman.
Mr. Bevel says the issue of inventory at various price points may pose some challenges in the coming year. He also notes that with growth comes increasing pressure on infrastructure, something he says needs to be taken into consideration. Honoring Women Month is coming up, and organizers at the Family Resource Center promise a number of events to highlight this year's theme of Choose to Challenge, regardless of gender or age.
This year's Honoring Woman theme, hashtag Choose to Challenge, is adopted from the one chosen for International Women's Day. And it really asks us to challenge ourselves, because a challenged world is an alert world, right? We can all choose to call out gender bias and inequality. It really and truly reflects the times we're living in, where we need to be more critical thinkers and to challenge negative behaviors as they relate to gender dynamics.
FRC program coordinator Charmaine Miller tells Radio Cayman, celebrating women's achievements and promoting gender equality are proactive ways of encouraging a more fair, balanced society.
Our calendar is quite broad, so that everyone can have something that really and truly they enjoy. We strongly encourage, when it comes to celebrating International Women's Day and honoring Women Month, to have both men and women, boys and girls involved, so that everybody recognizes that we all have an important part to play in helping and forging a better world.
The fundraising focus of this year's observation will be geared to maintaining and promoting the FRC's Young Parent Services. For this year's Honoring Women Month calendar and for more information, you can email frc@gov.ky, call 949-0006, or visit frc.gov.ky.
It comprises of our National Arts and Cultural Awards, Dress for Culture, the Parade of Nations, and Red Sky at Night. So there are three focused events, of course, Red Sky being the anchor event. So that's KFest.
Chief Cultural Officer at the Cayman National Cultural Foundation, Melanie McField, tells Radio Cayman this ceremony recognizes those who've contributed to the arts, culture, and heritage of the Cayman Islands.
For this year's recipients, we have Gold Heritage Cross recipients, which include Miss Marcianne Hydes and Miss Marlena Anglin. We also have the certificate for Heritage Cross, and we have three recipients accepting this award this year, and it's Miss Eileen Barnes, Miss Margarita Bodden, Miss Marcia Ann Rankin, and we also have the Star for Creativity. We have gold awardees, including Nasaria Sukushalet, Miss Erna Jean Ebanks, Mr. Darwin Ebanks, Mr. Edlin Miles, and for the Star for Creativity, silver, we have Shamika Clark, Edmund Ebanks, and Wendy Miller. So we have quite a few nominees this year.
Several participants are performing tonight as part of the award ceremony. You can see the proceedings live on Cayman Life TV's Facebook page and YouTube channel. That is your latest local news from Radio Cayman's newsroom. I'm April Cummings.